marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today. Marriage, that blessed arrangement, that dream within a dream.
Yeah, now hopefully you didn't go to one like that. I remember, that's not going to move today, that's all right, I'll just stand. Is it okay if I pace too? Because I'm a pacer, so. But Tina and I had the opportunity to go to a wedding in October, and it was a student that we worked with some 10 years ago. And I don't know about you, and whether you're in a relationship or not, and whether you're married, there's this sense of love. There's, or as the old song would say, love is in the air. And when you go, you know, you just see that there are two people looking to commit themselves to one another. And as you watch the ceremony, there's possibly songs that meant a lot to them as they were dating, or just people sharing from God's word. Whatever it is, there's just this, wow, there's two people getting ready to commit themselves for the rest of their lives. And I thought, wow, you know, for me, sitting there, Tina had the opportunity to actually be a part of this wedding. And as I sat there, and I'm not trying to leave anyone out, but for those who are married, you know, when you go to a wedding, sometimes you hold your spouse's hand a little bit tighter, you put your arm around them, and you're, you know, kind of rubbing their back, because there's this, like, almost this rekindling, you know, this, like, wow, you know, do you remember when, you know, and, or do you remember when? But in all seriousness, that's what's going on, you know, and that's, for me, was like, oh, wow, you know, I love my wife. I really, really love my wife. But this morning, as we look at Joshua, and as we conclude our series this morning, we want to look at a couple of passages of Scripture as we're looking together in chapters 23 and 24 as we wrap up. We've taken several months and looked through Joshua and his leadership of the people of Israel. And this morning we want to look at being resolved. We want to look at, what does it look like to live a life that's committed? What does it look like to have a life that is vowed to Jesus Christ for now and forever? And so as we look at that, a couple of things for me that really came and touched my heart as I began looking through Joshua again was three things for me. Was one, God is faithful, period. God is faithful. We just sang it. God, you're unchanging. How you were before is how you are now, and it's how you're going to be forever. And so that's something that touched my heart. God, you never change. I may change, but you never do. The second thing is that really came out for me is that we have a role and responsibility to play. God's saying, I will be committed to you, and I'm asking that you be committed to me, and that we have a role to play in that. And also that we learned throughout this series that there are benefits. There are heartaches, there are blessings, there are curses for when we are obedient to Him and when we are disobedient to Him. And so as we look at that together, what really stuck out for me also, and saying, you know, God, Joshua is such a great biblical example of someone who was a man of courage, a man of humility, a man of prayer, and a man of worship. Not through singing, but a man of worship with his life. And people followed that. If you remember in Joshua chapter 4, after they had crossed the Jordan River, it says in Joshua 4:14, it says, that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel. And they, Israel, revered him all the days of his life, just as they had revered Moses. I thought, wow, you know, this is a guy who God is so pleased with. And so that's where we want to go this morning, and we want to look at together. And if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to look starting in chapter 23 of Joshua this morning. And this is a time here where Joshua is at the end of his life. And he is, in chapters 23 and 24, he actually has two addresses, or two speeches, if you want to say, that he gives. The first one we're going to look at just right now is to the leadership of Israel. And then the second address in chapter 24 we're going to touch on a little bit, is that he brings all of Israel together. So he, and what he's doing here is he's going, look, I'm about ready to go. My time's done here. And so I want to just remind you that this is what it's about. I want, just like in a marriage, as you watch, as they, they make commitments to one another and they exchange rings, that this is something that is serious and before the sight of God, you know. And so why don't we look at that together? But before we do that, I just want to pray and just ask God that he'll speak to each and every one of us this morning and how we're to respond to that. Lord, we thank you again that you were and you are and you will always be. Lord God, we just thank you for this time that we've been able to spend in your word these past several months corporately. And I just pray that right now, Lord, that I'm moving myself out of the way and allowing you to just speak your words of truth so that we can respond to you. And that, Lord, as we leave these doors, that we would be people who are truly transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just want to share with you this morning three keepsakes to following forever. And as you're turning to Joshua chapter 23, I did get word that we will be caroling next Sunday at 2 o'clock at Brookside Nursing Home. So just to let you know that that is going to happen. So hopefully that you can make it out and just put a smile on someone's face for the afternoon. But why don't we look at this together and looking at three keepsakes of following forever. And so as we look in chapter 23, I want to begin with verse 1. And this is Joshua bringing the leaders together. And we're going to start here. After a long time had passed and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then a very old man, summoned all of Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, I am very old, and you yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. And remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes and all the nations of the lands that remain, the nations I conquered, between the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea in the west. And the Lord your God himself will push them out for your sake, and he will drive them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. And this is a key here that I think, and he goes on to say, be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. And do not associate with these nations that remain among you, and do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. And the Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. And I'm going to add verse 11 to that. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. So as Joshua begins to address the people, again, three things I want to share with you. There's notes in your FYI if you want to follow along about three keepsakes to following forever. Three things that really has stuck out to me that I would like to share to us corporately, and that how we can respond to that and how we can apply these things to our lives. Three things: there's going to be a promise, a premise, there's going to be a promise, and there's a pledge. And so why don't we begin to look at that? The first is the premise, or the principle, the guiding factor here is this: have a genuine commitment to God. Have a genuine commitment to God. See, when Joshua, let's look again at verses 6 through 8 of chapter 23, he says, he goes on to say, be very strong and be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside from the left or to the right. Don't associate with nations that remain among you. Don't invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. Holding fast unto God. Or the Hebrew word, dabak. It was really interesting. That means to cling or to cleave. And if you think about it, in a wedding, you know, or even the father gives away the bride. And if you think about it, even in Scripture, a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. To cling, to cleave, or even to glue oneself. Holding fast to God. That's our part in this, is to hold on, to glue ourselves to God. And no matter what, the good, the bad, the ugly, the highs, the lows, that we want to keep ourselves to him. Having a loyal commitment. This is, as we shared at the beginning, this is a forever commitment. even as two individuals come together and they say, till what do us part? Till death do us part. And in a spiritual sense, for those of us who are followers of Christ, and this is an offer to those who are not, this is a forever thing. This is temporary. This is a temporary residence for those of us who are in Christ. This is not our home. We're just passing through. And so this is a forever commitment. And just in like any relationship, there are times where it's difficult. There are things that bide for our attention and get in the way of truly the relationship that we intended or especially what God intended. And even thinking about, you know, being in the world and being not of the world. As an old saying goes, bad company corrupts good morals. And so it's like, well, that's nice. So how do I keep this? Or just like a marriage or any relationship, how do I keep the fire burning? How do I keep it going? If I'm to have a genuine commitment to God, how do I do that? And because even in Joshua, when Chick shared about Achan's sin, you know, they had just, Jericho has been destroyed. And they went and chose to do what God said, don't do. God said, here, this is what you can do. Here's what I don't want you to do. And yet in Joshua chapter 7, verse 1, it says, but the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. And it goes on to say, and verse 1 finishes out, and it says, so the Lord's anger burned against Israel. And sometimes for me in my own life, I like the nice God. The nice God sometimes I can keep in the box. And yet God, he's against that. He's saying, do what pleases me. When you're disobedient, I love you, but I will have to discipline. And there are consequences for those things that we choose to do outside of what he wants for us. So the question is, how do we keep the fire burning? If there, you know, as you remember, in a wedding ceremony, there's the excitement, there's love in the air, but then there's the next day, or the honeymoon phase, as my wife and I have been going through this adoption foster process, and they say, you know, they keep reminding us, just remember, as you know, you move forward, and as a child does come into your home, there's going to be this honeymoon period where everything's great, and then before you know it, they're upset about the littlest things. It's like, wow, yeah, I can see that. And just in my own life, I've had, you know, when I came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, it was like, whoo, yes, I want to let everybody know. And then as time waned on and life wanes on, it kind of lost its luster. So let's look at that together. The first thing is maybe begin to evaluate. Take a spiritual inventory of your heart. In other words, saying, you know, and in your notes, I know there's a scale of 1 to 10, but if you truly had to answer that, where are we that, with that? Where am I? I know I'm not a 10. But it's just asking yourself. I remember a friend of mine, he's a family counselor, and I said to him, you know, there's some times that my daughter, she has a hard time talking to me, and he says, why don't you ask her this one question? Ask her, if you had to grade Dad, how would you grade him? So I said, Emily, how would you grade me as a dad? She said, a C. I said, really? Well, why would you grade me as a C? And she shared with me, see, she said, Dad, there's times you don't listen. Dad, there's times you cut me off when I'm trying to talk. And it's like, wow. What are things in our lives that if we truly looked at our hearts and said, what am I evaluating? What things do I need to work on? Am I getting an A in these areas of my life? So it's evaluating, but it's also celebrating and considering things. Celebrate the areas that God has made you strong in and saying, you know what? Wow, thank you, God, that I somewhat got this area. But then considering, saying, you know what, God, what are some areas, other areas? I remember sharing not too long ago that our heart is like a home, and that when Christ comes in, he's not going to clean it like that. He says, look, I want to do one room at a time. So evaluating, celebrating, considering, and then finally, surround yourself around people who have that same deep love and commitment to Christ. I was thinking about when the Eagles played the Patriots last week, and it was a great game. But then on Monday, the Patriots are saying, we still have work to do. Okay, wait a minute, guys. You play perfect football. Not only do you play perfect football, you're undefeated. And yet they still said, we have to work on some things. And I thought, wow. And they want to bring people around them who are willing and committed to win. And that's just like in our own lives. Thinking about on a personal level, do we have people in our lives that love us for who we are, but will tell us the truth in love? Accountability. Or on a corporate level, as Dom shared earlier this morning, small groups, just outside of Sunday morning, are we truly making an effort to connect with people, to live life deeply, to care for one another, to pray for one another outside of here? And so that is just surrounding yourself around people who have the same commitment and the same goals, because there will be divided interest. Having a genuine commitment to God. I want to share, this is probably a verse that probably all of you know, but it really rang with me this week, and it says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. That's the promise, premise. Trust the Lord with everything. When you're going to school, God, I trust you with my classes. God, I trust you with however the outcome's going to be if I didn't study. God, I trust you with this business deal. God, I trust you with everything in this relationship. I trust you with having to go to someone that I've hurt or I've been bitter against. I'm going to trust you with it all. Trusting with all. And in all your ways, everything that you do, the inhaling, the exhaling, the moving, everything I do, that's the premise. And the promise is that He will make your path straight. He didn't say your path is going to be easy. He said He'll make it straight. It's not going to be, I got God now and everything's cool. No, He said, I'll make your path straight. So the premise is have a genuine commitment to God. And the promise is this: I will always be with you. Not me, God. I will always be with you. There was a couple of passages of Scripture that I'd like to share with you. One is in Joshua chapter 6, verse 2, and it says, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and fighting men.'" Remember, God's faithful, period. And another passage of Scripture in Exodus 14:14, He says, this is before Moses and the Israelites are going to cross the Red Sea, and I really love this, and it said this: "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." The Lord will fight for you. You will only need to be still. That's a promise. And so the question that we have is, how should we, if God's always going to be faithful, if God's always going to be there, He's always unchanging, how do I respond to His faithfulness? Because the reality is that we all have feelings, we all have emotions, and we sometimes think through things, and we're trying to put it all together. And when I say we, I mean me more. I'm wired to plan 3-4 years out and try to have all the little intricate details put together. And yet I'm reminded, Dom shared with me about bowling. He said, if you think about it, if you go bowling, you bowl, right? And you throw the ball. Yes? Okay, good. You throw the ball. And have you ever noticed there's some people kind of be like, come on. But really, that ball's not going to listen to us. And so that's, as Dom shared with me, it's like, ding, I get it. When I let go of things and I believe that God is going to do what He says He's going to do, and that He is faithful and that He loves me and He's there for me and He'll fight for me, I have to let it go. And that happened just for our own family. Just recently at Thanksgiving, we had, my side of the family was all the way down in southern Louisiana, and Tina's family wasn't able to make it. We were all kind of bummed out. We're like, this is a family holiday. Like, what's going on here? But through that, I had to trust that God, in the background, was putting pieces together, and that He would take care of our desire to be around others. And so what a great opportunity that we had people who aren't our family, but they shared Thanksgiving with us. And it was exciting because it was, I would say, and no offense to my family, but it was one of the best Thanksgivings that we have had in a long time. But God was doing all the work in the background because I chose in the lane to let go. I let go and let God do that, because He was already working behind the scenes when I was trying to put everything together. He's like, throw it away, Jeff. Come on, man, let me do. If you believe what you say you believe, then let me begin to do what I'll do best. And I began to realize that, you know what, the more I allow God to do that and the more I let go of that ball, the more I will experience Him, the more I begin to trust Him, and the more I begin to say, this is forever. I am committed to you. I am committed to you. So the premise is having a genuine commitment. The promise is that He'll always be with us. And then asking ourselves, what adjustments need to be made in order to allow God to fight for us? I remember when Pat shared, you know, if you go to a chiropractor and you're fat, if you're out of line, they're going to go, we need to do this and we need to work on you for a while and you may need to do these exercises at home. But that's the same for our own lives. If we look in our hearts, in our heart of hearts, to say, am I being still in areas that I'm fighting? Am I doing things that really I need to let God do? I can't control it because I've already let go. But we have to let go of the ball first. You don't see many people bowling just standing there. You know, they let it go. And so what areas and what adjustments do we need to make to allow him to fight for us? It's been really interesting, this series. I don't know about you all, but I'm just continuing to learn more and more throughout these past months and even this week, is that God is who he says he is. I don't know how else to explain that, but I realize that, you know, I want to make this my life verse. You know, Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Instead, always trying to do. And it's about being. It's about being at his feet and being still. So I just want to take the next few moments for us to have an opportunity to share, whether, you know, sharing how God's been faithful to you. Or, you know, there may be scripture that you say, you know what, God's really touched me here. Or, you know what, there's adjustments that I have made. And that we can celebrate together what God has done. I'm going to pick on you, Andrew, if you could have the cordless mic to go around. But we just want to take the next few moments to share together. We'll just open this up. I've already shared mine, the Thanksgiving story. So as we talked about, keepsakes to falling forever. The premise is have a genuine commitment to God. Glue yourself. Hold fast to him. The second thing is that he will always be with us. And that we have to, each day, we have to, you know, respond. How do we do that? With emotions and feelings. We have to, by faith, believe that he'll do what he says he's going to do. And maybe it's even right here, as it's always been shared every Sunday. Get into his word and begin to replace the lies with truth. The lies with truth. The lies with truth. And the more and more that you do that, the more and more I believe that in my own personal journey, I experience God more, learn to trust him more, and that glue gets even tighter and tighter. So I want to talk about the pledge. Joshua, as he concludes, he addresses all of Israel in chapter 24. And I'm going to read three verses here, verses 1, 2, and 8. And this is the covenant of Israel with God. And just like in a wedding, the two exchange vows, I will do for good and bad and richer or poor and sickness and health. And this is just as Israel to God is renewing a covenant. And a covenant consisted of the history. It consisted of the role that we played. And then it also, again, as we shared at the beginning, blessings and curses for obedience and disobedience. And so this is what Joshua is doing here. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 24, Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem, and he summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And then Joshua said to all the people, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. So he's given a little bit of history. In verse 8, he said, I brought you out to the land of the Amorites who lived east of the Jordan, and they fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them before you, and you took possession of their land. And he's reminding them, hey, this is the history of your people, and you know what? This is how faithful God's been. And so this morning, as we wrap up, the pledge is this: choose to follow daily. Choose to follow daily. Remember, as I told you, I'm a planner. I plan out and I try to have all the scenarios and everything put together and, you know, stats and all that kind of stuff. But I'm truly learning in these past couple of days that I got to just today. Trust God today. Glue to him today. Even God's word says tomorrow will worry about itself. Choose to follow daily. Let's move, and as we end with these passages of scripture in chapter 24, I want to look at verses 14 and 15 here. As Joshua is addressing the people, he says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors, worship beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors serve beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose lands you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." In other words, if you're following along in the notes, as for me, if you circle that, because not all of us are married, not all of us have families, but what Joshua was saying here, in other words, he was saying, as for me, Jeff, I'm serving God. I'm going to live for Him today, and I'm going to trust Him for tomorrow. And I recognize that He is a hope to the hopeless, a help to the helpless, a father to the fatherless. He's strength when I'm weak, and that's who I want to live for. And as Scott shared about the Jordan, you know, it even says in there that when future generation asks, what is this all about, we can share how good God was to us. And so this morning, I'm going to ask some of the ushers. We have some stones. And for me, and even in my house, but for me, I'm choosing today. I'm going to live for God. And for those of us who are in Christ, we are His body. We are His bride. And so as you receive a stone, you can begin to pass those out. You know, this morning, even before we take communion, we have to ask ourselves, for those of us who are followers of Christ, we may have to ask, is there a need to commit? Have I not taken my vows seriously? Jesus says in Revelation chapter 2 that I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance, and I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false, and you have persevered and endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. And he says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. In other words, all that passion and zeal that you had when you first gave your life to Christ, maybe, again, the luster's gone. The embers have gone away from the fire and it's burned out a little bit. Is there a need to commit? Is there a need to say, God, you know what? Before I come and take communion, I just want to confess and repent to you that I've not lived up to your glorious standard. Or maybe even in taking communion this morning, it may be, you know what, I've been harboring bitterness or anger towards someone else, and I want to get right with them before I even come and in remembrance of Christ's death with communion. Or it may be that we're, some of you this morning, it may be, is there a need for recommitment? Is there a need for commitment? God's word says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And in Romans 9:11, it goes on to say, and as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in Christ will never be put to shame. Anyone who is in Christ will never be put to shame. I'm going to ask that you all stand with me this morning as we prepare to take communion. And just like in a wedding, as the vows are exchanged and rings are exchanged, Jeremy, if you could put up Joshua 24:15. And in your heart of hearts, you're saying today. You know, we're not going to worry about tomorrow. We're not going to worry about Friday. We're saying today. Because if you look in the next book of the Bible, in Judges, and only a couple of chapters later, it says, and Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So sometimes we don't have it all together all the time. But this morning, I just want to finish off at the very end but. And if this is your heart saying, you know what, repeat, share this with me. But as for me, in my house, we will serve the Lord. And hopefully this will be a reminder to you. And I'm going to ask the ushers come forward as we take communion together. And as I've shared, this is a privilege of those of us who are followers of Christ and remembering what He has done for us. And maybe it's just taking time to, you know, just don't do communion to do communion, as we shared even on our Thanksgiving Eve service. Even if it's having to get right with someone else to say, you know what, I wanna be coming before the Lord and taking this seriously. And so let's pray together.